Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we conclude our discussion in part one of this series entitled Teaching Your Children to Serve the Lord. Psalm 78 gives us a passage of seven verses that it's actually a writing of Asaph.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Asaph says several interesting things here about the family. Read that for us, those seven verses, sweetheart.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
I think Psalm 78 here sums up what we're talking about.
Right.
It's our goal, our plan. He says several things here. He says that there's things that we have heard and known from our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there was a generation before us that taught us.
Right.
And I would say that's true for both of us.
Yes.
Bethley's mom and dad.
Absolutely.
Her dad's a pastor. Mm-hmm. My dad is not in ministry. But our families trained us about church.
Right.
About our beliefs, about the gospel, and ordered and directed our life so that we would go in the right way.
Right.
So he mentions here that there are things our fathers have told us. And then he talks about in verse 4 that we will not hide them from our children, but will show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strengths, the works that he hath done.
Right.
In other words, what our fathers taught us about Christianity, we now have to teach our children about
True.
Christianity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even that has a goal. And he says the goal for that is that the generation that is to come might know them, even the children
yes.
that should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget his works, and keep his commandments.
Right.
So he really talks about three generations right there. There's a father that mm-hmm. impacts his children for Christianity, and then those children impact their children, and the works and words of God are established through three generations.
Right.
And it doesn't matter where you are. So some of you probably are first-generation Christians. Your mom and dad never trained you, never taught you. Mm-hmm. So you're learning Christianity as you go. This
right.
is all new to you. You're the first believer in your family. And God's going to give you a family. Maybe he already has, or maybe you're single and you're listening. But when God gives you children, all the Christianity that you're learning to live, you are now to impart to your children so they will learn to live it.
Right.
So they can impart it to your grandchildren so they will learn to live Christianity and impact mm-hmm. their generation. And ideally, God's plan is that in every generation, we impact the next generation so they will
going.
Serve the Lord.
Right.
And Bethany and I have talked about it many times. We do have five children, and I don't know how many kids our kids will have, but if our kids had five children each, we'd have 25 grandchildren. And it would be a pretty amazing thing for 25 grandchildren to know the Lord, love the Lord, and serve the Lord because
yes.
we trained and our children trained.
Mm-hmm.
And even if our grandchildren each got married and had five kids, we'd have 125 great-grandchildren.
That would be a lot.
Which would be a lot. Bigger than many churches.
Mm-hmm.
But True. Your family is that important. You that are listening, hear me on this. You may only have a son or a daughter, and right now you're changing diapers or you're dealing with first grade or you're working with a preteen or a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever lose sight of the fact that you are actually training for an entire generation.
Right.
And a generation after that. And
right.
you impact a generation after that.
What we do
it really
spiritually,
is an amazing thing.
What we do spiritually and even practically will impact our child's whole life and will impact their children's lives and in turn will impact their children's lives. And so it does have eternal value. It's not just
sure.
right here on earth.
Now, Charles Spurgeon said this in one of his writings. He said, we've come to a turning point in the road. If we turn to the right, mayhap our children and our children's children will go that way. In other words, there's decisions you make in life. If you make the right decision and train the right decisions, your kids and your grandchildren will go that way. But, mm-hmm. he says, if we turn to the left, generations yet unborn will curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to his word.
Mm.
And I thought that was a very interesting quote when I read it. I was not able to locate the context necessarily, but just the truth of that little quote by itself reminds us every day, moms and dads, we're training, we're teaching, we're right. impacting, and right courses have great opportunity to impact our children and grandchildren to go the right way.
Right.
But wrong courses could result, Mr. Spurgeon says, in generations that are not even born yet to curse our names for our unfaithfulness.
Right.
And what a responsibility we have. So let's just think a little bit here on the fact that what we want to talk to you about is training your children to serve the Lord, training them in Christianity. And today and next week, there's really three phrases or words that we want to talk about. We want to talk to you about the word model, the word mold, and the word mend. In other words, model the Christian life.
Right.
Mold your children in the Christian life, and then we've got to mend it. We've got to correct errors along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's really zero in on the first one here, and then we'll finish up next week. Let's talk about modeling the Christian life.
Mm.
In my notes, I wrote down this statement, don't expect what you don't live.
Right.
And that is so, so important.
It's amazing how that children will see all of the inconsistencies.
And point them out.
And point them out in our lives, whether it just be in a practical everyday area of our life or an area of our spiritual walk with God.
You know, they will see them and they will know. I've said many times that we can easily fake Christianity at church.
Yes.
Next, we look good. We dress up. We're there. We smile. We greet each other.
Right.
But where Christianity is really lived is in our homes.
That's right.
And we have to model it. I was talking recently to a neighbor, and I thought it very interesting in talking to a neighbor. Just, they're great people. We love them to death, and we're sitting and talking. And he, as long as I've known him, he's claimed to be a believer. He's adamant about the time he was saved in his youth, very adamant. He remembers the church, the preacher, the message, and he knows the gospel.
Right.
So he very well may be a believer. But it's interesting that he talked about his dad, and when he was talking about his dad, he said, oh, my dad's the real deal.
Right.
He's a real Christian. Now, he wasn't much on church, and I thought really interesting hearing him talk about his dad, and he is exactly what he described his dad to be.
Right.
And then we know his at least one of his children, and none of his family are part of a church. None of his family serve the Lord.
Right.
They will all, you know, tell you they're good people. They may drink some, or they may smoke, or they may whatever. We're all, you know, pretty good people. We're good people. We're moral. We love the Lord. We're Christians. But it is amazing just listening to him talk made me realize how important the family is.
Right.
What daddy failed to model, he didn't live. And what he failed to model, his own children aren't living.
Right.
And it just reminded me that Bethany and I have got to be very on target, on purpose, training our children to serve the Lord.
Right.
So I guess the question we would have to ask you about is, are you modeling the Christian life? Mm-hmm. Is it real in your life?
Right.
And help me think through here just all the ways a parent could model Christianity. Deuteronomy, we mentioned earlier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 6 talks about the fact that we as parents are to train our children in God's word.
Right.
We're to teach it diligently to them. And he mentions four ways: when we're sitting in the house, when we're going to bed, when we're getting out of bed, and when we're walking through life.
Right.
But before he ever tells us to teach our children diligently God's word, he says, the words I'm commanding you should be in your heart. All this has to be real to me if I'm going to impact our children. Bethany and I have to be the real deal. So we do have to model it. We have to show the illustration, the right example.
Right. And so I think that all begins with your relationship, of course, to the Lord. Are you saved? Because you can't model what you don't have. And then I would say it begins then with your relationship to the Word of God. Do you know it? And do you allow it to settle down into your heart and your soul and become a part of your everyday life?
Right.
I do know that there are Christian families who are faithful to church and even may have very high standards in their life, but they're angry, or they are inconsistent, or they have some sin patterns in their speech or in their way of life that say to their children, this Christianity that I model on Sunday is not a real part of my life. And I haven't taken the Word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, for instance, and made it a real, genuine part of my life. And that only comes by having a genuine relationship with the Lord
That's true.
With his word.
That's so, so, so true. So that's just all part of modeling and showing that this is real. We are living what we expect. And, you know, you see that in ways that are, you know, not spiritual. Like we just celebrated the Christmas holidays. And one of the things that's aware is we have, now we have in-laws, a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And my family versus Bethley's family. There are major differences in how her family did things and how my family did things, how we did it, how our in-laws do it.
Right.
And the model, it makes a difference.
Right. The traditions that have been established.
It's not that it's right or wrong.
Oh, right.
So the way our in-laws' family may do something is not wrong, but the difference, the model does affect things.
Right. It
does. And it's just amazing. Today, I took our daughter and her husband to the airport. And so we were joking a little bit, and my daughter said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm just so thankful you would drive us to the airport." It was just a real kind of a sweet statement. And I said, "Well, I'm glad to do it, because if I'd have stayed home, I'd have had to help clean the house." And she laughed, and I said, "One thing about your mom," I said, "your mom loves a clean house." And my son-in-law turns around in the front of the car and looks at his wife and goes, "I don't know anybody like that." Well, it just made me think how simple that is, because Bethley does love a clean house, and we had systems in place on how we clean the bathroom and when and how often and how we clean the house. And I love
it. Another podcast.
I like clean, so I'm all about it and I'm for it. And yet it's amazing to me that he indicated that the way you modeled cleaning a house apparently is alive and well in your daughter.
And which began with my mother.
And it does. It goes back the way your mom does it. And so the modeling is one of the most important things we can tell you.
Yes.
So before you can ever train your children, you've got to be the real deal. So
you do.
Dad, you ought to think through. Do you have devotions? If you don't, you can't expect your son to. Are you guys faithful to church?
Right.
Then you shouldn't expect your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters to be faithful to church.
Right.
If we're not givers, we can't expect our children to be givers.
True.
If we don't worship, if we don't respect a day set aside for rest, if we don't take advantage of the spiritual truths in the Bible, we cannot expect our children to.
True.
Any other thoughts or illustrations there about modeling the Christian life?
Well, I would say that we all have days where we fail in modeling the Christian life, and it's okay to acknowledge that to your children. You should acknowledge that to your children, and you should apologize if you need to. Just the other day, I was a little harsh with Charity. It was actually Sunday morning. We were getting ready, and you ladies all know how Sunday morning is. Just the devil gets into Sunday morning routines. And nothing goes right. And everything was going wrong. And Charity just kept asking me just simple questions. But I kept thinking to myself, you're 12 years old, figure it out yourself. And so that came across in my tone when I talked to her. And when we all finally flew into the car and got buckled in and we were on our way to church, I had to turn around and I had to say, "Charity, I am really sorry that mommy was harsh with you when I spoke to you that time. Could you please forgive me?" And she said, "Of course I do." And we were able to go to church with a right spirit and a right heart. So just acknowledge it when you don't model it.
So modeling is not perfection.
It is not perfection. You will be a human being in your home. It's okay.
Responding to the imperfections and the failures in a biblical way is modeling Christianity.
It is.
Because we're looking for grace. We're looking for forgiveness. We're giving grace. We're growing together.
But if we live our whole life saying, "Well, I'm a human being and that's just how I am," that is not modeling Christianity.
No. That's making an excuse for our failure.
Yes, it is.
So what we're talking about is training our children to serve the Lord all the days of their life.
Right.
And that's going to vary from, you know, different age groups where you that are raising a 3-year-old, training that child is different than training a 13-year-old.
Right.
And if you have a 15-year-old, while you're training your 15-year-old, you've got to model.
Yes.
And sometimes we are hard on teenagers. Those teens are so rude. You know, you'll meet a teenager at a church and maybe they're not friendly or they don't speak. And I've thought more and more, you know what, we can be hard on teens, but it might be that their parents aren't friendly and don't speak.
True.
Or that they've not been trained. Nobody has trained them that this is how you respond to a guest. This is how you respond in church. This is how you respond during worship. This is why we sing. And so moms and dads, it is an awesome thing that God has given us, our children, not just to train them for life, mm-hmm. but to train them so they will serve God all the days of their life.
Right.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the conclusion of our series, Part 1, Teaching Your Children to Serve the Lord. Join us next time for a special edition of Question and Answer, again with David and Abigail Adams.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.